With that, we go to Camp Pendleton, land of the Marine Corps on 1000 AM. Hello, Jeff in Camp Pendleton.
Hi there. How are you?
Doing great, sir. How can Train help you?
So I'm an atheist, and I believe that atheism is the default setting for human beings. I don't think that anyone could be believing in God or a God without having someone else tell them, a family member usually, or possibly a missionary tell them. And so I don't think it's a natural thing. And to move the ball forward from your point a little while ago with your last caller, when I see the effects around me and I reason backwards, the causes that I see are that there is no God. And then that's how I get the effects around me.
Why are you an atheist, Jeff? Did someone tell you there was no God?
No, I think it's a default setting. So I think the burden of proof lies with the person who says that they know something, not the person who says they don't know. So I say, I don't know. Please tell me. And any burden of proof for what someone would believe I could judge, then the burden of proof would be on the person who says they know.
Okay. So, Jeff, you would say... One thing that helps me separate where people fall on this spectrum is how they answer this question. And the question is just this. Does God exist? Does God exist? You could answer it yes, no, or I don't know. So how would you answer the question, does God exist?
My answer is no, but I'll go a step further. No, and even if someone could prove that God does exist, basically proving deism, that there is a God, it would their whole work would still be in front of them in order to prove theism, for instance, Catholicism. I mean, your whole battle would still be uphill in front of you.
Sure, and many people have fought it valiantly for centuries, and we're starting at the basic here. So it seems to me that you are asserting a belief. There is a difference from, you know, there's a difference between someone who says, I don't know if there are aliens, and the person who says, there are no aliens anywhere in this universe. If someone makes a huge claim like that, they share a burden of proof. So I would say that you share a burden of proof to show me that the answer to the question of does God exist is no versus I don't know. What reason do you have to think the answer is no instead of I don't know?
So I will get with you on the semantic argument here, which is that there – the scientific method, I don't have to show proof for not believing in something. So, but that being said, I will answer your question.
Okay.
I'll give you an example from my brother, who's a Marine sergeant, went to the Philippines recently to help out with some disaster relief. He kept seeing people saying, you know, thank God you're here. Thank God for this aid. Thank God for the help that you're giving us.
Uh-huh.
And he thought to himself the whole time, who do you think made the typhoon? You know, who do you think created all this havoc around you? Why are you thanking God? It just seems that that effect could not have been caused by a god.
Why could God not have created a typhoon, or how do you know God could not have allowed a typhoon to occur? Why couldn't God allow something? Why couldn't an infinite, all-powerful God who sees eternity from now, how do you know with so much certainty God could not allow an event like that to happen?
Well, I'm glad you brought up infinite and all-powerful. So if God is omnipotent and omniscient, either he knew about the hurricane and created it himself and allowed it to wipe out all those people, or he did not know about the hurricane, the typhoon. So, you know, either God is impotent or evil. So what kind of God do you really want someone to believe in?
Okay, well, I think, Jeff, you have given us what's called a false dilemma. It's the idea, so God, by definition, is all good and all powerful and all knowing. He's the perfect act of being itself. And he creates finite beings like us to eventually draw us to relation with him.
I'll have to interrupt you there. So that definition is a theological definition brought by a Christian, which is yourself.
Right.
I don't subscribe to that definition, so you'll have to find some other way to convince me.
Well, what we're debating about is we'll define a term and then say if this certain thing exists. If you tell me the definition is just wrong, you got to give me a reason to think it's wrong.
Okay, you're defining what God is to someone who doesn't believe in God. It's a little hard to understand what you're talking about.
How is it hard for me to understand? God just is the perfect act of being itself. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-good, and is the perfect creator of the universe. That's a pretty standard definition atheists and theists share. And then you and I would have a discussion about how the evidence in the world points towards God or points away from him. You're trying to say that there is evidence there is no God, which is a knowledge claim, a very sweeping claim, I may add. And so what I'm saying, you're saying that if a typhoon or a disaster strikes a bunch of people, God is either powerless to stop it or he's evil. But there's a third option here. The option is that God allowed a disaster or a bad thing to happen because he has a good reason to allow evil or suffering to occur. If God is omnipotent, he can bring good from any kind of suffering no matter what. Is that at least a possible option? God allows evil because he has a good reason to allow it.
Is that possible?
It
is. It's a very good explanation. So the third option, that God allowed it to happen or caused it for a good reason,
right,
is exactly what I wanted to bring out, because what you realize is that if we are, you know, as many Catholics, Christians believe, created in God's image, and that God has a plan for us, and mm-hmm. God knows our heart,
right,
then why would he create so many millions and billions of people, many of them children, who have never known anything in their lives except, you know, be born and die very suddenly and violently and painfully?
Or after 80 years, like all of us.
Okay, so Jeff, you're saying what good reason would God have to create someone who dies soon after they're created?
Exactly. Well,
Can I give you a good reason that those people he create have immortal souls, and so even after their deaths, their souls and bodies will be reunited, and they'll be able to spend eternity with God, and the finite fallen world we live in, goods can still come from that, such as the good of sacrifice and courage from the gentleman, I believe you said it was your brother, who went to help others who were struggling with the typhoon. So one good reason God creates these people who only have a very short earthly life is that they'll have an eternal life with God. That seems like a good reason to me, doesn't it?
I actually don't buy it, and I'll give you my reason. So if your answer to why is there suffering is because it allows, the suffering is good because it allows other good to come from it that we might not see at first, I would say tell that to those who suffer. You know, look someone in the eye who's 8 years old, who had AIDS and is going to die in 2 months, and tell them, oh, it's okay that you suffer because it's for a good reason.
No,
and
Jeff,
I know for
Jeff,
a fact I'll look
Jeff,
you right back in the eye and not care.
Jeff, you are strawmanning my position. You have turned it into a very large scarecrow to knock it down. I never said that you should say to a person who's suffering, oh, this is such a good thing, you shouldn't have to worry about this. No, not at all. There are evils in this world because we are fallen creatures. Something with human beings has gone wrong. We sin. We commit evil, which I will say atheism can't explain evil, because under atheism there is no good or evil. Things just are the way they are. You have to deal with it. And also as humans, we have been separated from God's grace, so we're susceptible to bodily harms, things like death or suffering. But I will say this, that the theistic worldview, that even as we suffer, God can bring good from it, or we can offer up in our sufferings, we can connect that to Christ's suffering on the cross and merit grace for others to help them get through this life to come to know God. I think that's much more hopeful than just telling an 8-year-old who's going to die in a few months, well, guess you're going into the ground and that's the end for you.
You're gone forever.
So atheism is a very hopeless position, wouldn't you say?
Tell someone, and it's comforting. I'm not going to say that it's not comforting. Mm-hmm. I think religion brings many comforts to people, but that doesn't make it true, unfortunately. I'd like to think that we all like our favorite blanket and it makes us comfortable,
yeah,
but it doesn't
and
make
Trent,
it mean it's
Trent did not
natural.
Say that the comforting
no,
aspect
what
is
I'm saying,
the basis
Jeff, is
of
what
truth.
You're, the reverse of that is just because certain things in life make us uncomfortable, we don't like it if God allows us to suffer. The fact of the matter is, if God exists and he's omnipotent, he can bring good from that suffering, and that in and of itself does not disprove his existence at all. We have to weigh all the evidence together. If seeing evidence that God does exist, if there's evil and suffering, God's able to bring good from that, and you as an atheist have the burden of proof to show me he cannot possibly bring good from that. Even a child who suffers, and that can be terrible for him, for parents. There are many children actually who suffer and are, you know, who are dying, that they have a stalwart faith in God. And it's a miraculous witness to others. And that through suffering, we can come to know God in a deeper way. That's just one of the good things. But you, Jeff, what you haven't done, what you have not done, and I don't think you can do, is to show God, the infinite, omnipotent God, can't bring good from evil. And unless you can do that, you cannot prove atheism.
Well, I still said, I don't have to prove atheism. The burden of proof is on you. You haven't given me one good reason to believe in God.
We didn't get to that yet, because I go back to my alien example. If you were to tell me There are no aliens in the universe. You couldn't just fall back on, well, you haven't shown me that Close Encounters of the Third Kind is real. No, if you say that a certain being or being itself does not exist, there is a burden there. And you offered essentially the problem of evil, and it's an old one. It's an emotionally difficult one, but intellectually, I think it has been answered.
Aquinas does say that it's among the top two formidable objections.
Sure.
But it's an objection with an answer, and it's displayed in the book that you will get, Jeff. Thank you for your call. Appreciate it.